from you we can do nothing, so we depend on you.
Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to talk about popular delusions. Delusion is a belief in a lie, and there's a lot of teachings that have went mainstream Christianity that are not Christianity. There's other spirits and teachings that have come in the name of God, but actually it leads you away from God. And there's a simplicity. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It doesn't come by speaking. So we're going to talk a little about some popular delusions of our day. And first here in Matthew chapter 7, it says, enter in verse 13 at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. I just heard about that today, that there was the New World Religious Center. Where was that?
Emirates.
United Arab Emirates. Yes. They have a New World Religion Center there. Wow, things are moving fast. So enter in. This is a wide gate that's coming, folks, and we've been warning you about it for a few years, but we see it surfacing now. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Then he tells us what to watch out for. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, which is hard because they look like sheep. They talk like sheep, but what does it say inwardly? They are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their greed. You shall know them by all the other things, fruits. And then it goes on in verse 17. So even every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Let's look at verse 20. Read this whole chapter. I don't like to just take verses out. But wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Underline that, doeth the will. We're here to obey the Lord. We're here to not boss him around, but obey him. Find out his will. Be servants of his will, trust him, obey him, trust in the unseen hand of God in our lives also, and be obedient to his word. And we want to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Think about all this stuff that's coming in the name of Christianity. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And this is what I wanted to emphasize. Where is our house? Is it on the rock or is it on sand? Because if we're following the delusions of the day, the popular Christian teachings of the hour, we're going to be building on sand, and our house will not stand. Here he says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came. Notice, both houses had rains and floods and everything. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to go through things. That was part of the lie of the message that we were in, was that because you're so special, you're not going to have any trouble. You're not going to have any problems. Well, a lot of people fell away from the faith, the real true faith, because they thought God didn't love them. They did something wrong. They couldn't seem to do the formulas. And notice, we're in the world. We're still in the world, and there's trouble in the world. And he said, it blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof, or fall of it. So we want to make sure that our doctrine is correct, and we want to make sure our house is built on the rock. So we want to make sure that if there's any delusional teachings, that we divide it. we rightly divide the word of God, and we don't get stuck on some fad or some great teaching that's popular now. And we're going to go through a few of these. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, you can turn there, but here Paul warns that those who are not lovers of truth would be given a strong delusion to believe a lie. So we want to pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your truth. Your word is truth. We thank you that your word is a light unto our path. And Father, we thank you in this dark hour that you are the light, and that regardless of what comes, Father, we're built upon you. We want your grace, your mercy, your strength in this hour. We thank you for wisdom. Keep our minds. So many people are losing their minds. They're freaking out. They're so afraid. Keep our minds stayed on you, Lord. We just thank you for your grace and your mercy in this hour. And keep us from delusions, Father, in Jesus' name. So the popular delusions of our day is to insist Christians must be positive. Okay, we're going to hit this. You've all heard this. You got to be positive. That's very negative. Well, it is good to be positive, but this teaching is not a Christian teaching. Be positive. None of us like negative complaining, murmurs, and all that. But on the other hand, there is a delusion of teaching that if you're just positive and you speak correct words, then there's a law of faith and a force of faith that God has to obey the words of your mouth. Well, this is a delusion. Now, what is a delusion? It's a fixed false belief. A fixed false belief that is resistant to reason or confrontation with actual facts. You try to tell people that these things are not in the Bible, that a lot of it is a law of attraction that's crept in, a lot of it's metaphysics, the metasciences and the cults and the religious Christian science, is what I wanted to say, have crept in, and people don't know the difference. So you try to tell them the difference to divide it, and people get upset. They get mad because this is what they've been taught. Well, I've learned we have to unteach ourselves some of the things we've been taught, because a delusion is a false belief or opinion, or it's an unshakable belief in a lie or misinformation. It's being deceived or tricked. Now, the Bible says that those that are not lovers of the truth are going to fall into the lies. They're going to fall into a strong delusion. We're going to see this more and more as the end times become more prevalent and more things happen, but it's already here. There's a lot of lies that are already being preached in his name, so we want to talk about that. To insist that Christianity must be positive, has to be positive, is to mock God and to lead souls astray and to deny reality. Now think about that. If you're taught that you have to think a certain way and speak a certain way all the time, you can't face what's really happening in your life. You can't face, you can't be honest, you can't get counseling, you can't ever be negative. It's put people in mental confusion. They don't want to displease God, but they don't want to say a negative confession because then they're not going to have what they say. And this has become a mess. A very mess in the body of Christ. So we must warn and rescue as many as we can who are deceived by the popular delusions of our day. Now in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, not just a few cherry-picked scriptures, but all scriptures are given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness or living right. One thing that's really missing is correction. We need rebukes. We need correction to be right. Sometimes somebody else will see something you don't see, or the word convicts us. We're doing something wrong, and the word is preached, and we just want to get it right. We want to do it right. That's good for us. If we only hear uplifting, comforting messages, and we never get convicted, we never repent. We never repent of anything. So now you don't even hear messages other than smooth, ear-tickling messages, positive messages, messages of health, healing, and prosperity. And we're going to find out again where some of these things come from. So to some extent, nearly all Christians have been influenced by the positive mental attitude syndrome, or they call it the PMA, positive mental attitude syndrome. This is in the world. This is in workplaces. Just be positive. I'll drive by a place and then say, be positive. Well, there's nothing wrong with being positive. But to say that it's a doctrine, that it's something of mainline Christianity, and that you only have what you say and think, and God can only bless you if you do formula 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, is a delusion. And because people have got stuck in some of these delusions and they wonder why it hasn't worked for them, well, they just don't have enough faith. That's what they're told. You need more faith. Well, faith comes by hearing. That's right. You read your Bible, you read it, faith comes. You don't have to work at it. I went to seminar after seminar, and I would just get more confused because they were trying to tell me what faith was. Go read Hebrews 11 about faith, and not one of them that faith says that they spoke. They were all obedient. They did certain things, and some of them didn't end up well. Some of them were tortured. Some of them were shipwrecked. By faith, they obeyed God. Amen. But we only heard the positive messages. Well, you need positive and negative. You need, sometimes you need uplifting, and sometimes you need to be corrected. Whom the Lord loves, he rebukes. He loves you. You love your children, you're going to correct them. You're not going to abuse them, but you correct them, right? So we're teaching a false gospel that God only wants to send blessings and good, and you're a princess, and you're a king, and you're a queen, you're so special. And really, most of the time, we need to quit confessing our blessings and start repenting before God for a lot of the things that we're doing. So we've been influenced by this positive mental attitude, and it's hard to get people out of it. But what this is, and I want to prove this to you tonight, is this positive mental attitude syndrome is based in new thought. Now, new thought philosophy, I found this in the library, it was a library book, History, The History of New Thought. And we're going to go into that at the end. But many of the Christian teachers on television, and they list them in the back of this book, of all the people that get their messages from New Thought that deny New Thought. They won't admit where they got their teachings from. They're not new. They're old, and they're being brought back in the name of Christianity. And because of the dominance over Christian media, we've been flooded with teachers of possibility thinking and positive confession. And a lot of these preachers were not even born again. They were not even Christians. They were having faith in their own faith, or they were talking about how you can have your possibilities, and all this stuff was like spiritual mysteries. It's a delusion. A delusion from the secular world is now a popular and seductive fad dressed in Christian terminology, accepted in the church, that being positive is good and being negative is bad. Let me say that again. A delusion from the secular world is now a popular and seductive fad dressed in Christian terminology, accepted in the church that being positive is good and being negative is bad. Sermons must now be comforting and uplifting to avoid anything negative. Sometimes it's good to feel bad if you've done something wrong so you can repent and make it right. If you just keep enabling people, they aren't going to change, right? A positive approach or a positive attitude are popular in the secular world. They're not found in the Bible. Now, you can say Philippians 4 talks about whatsoever things are true, honest, just, if there be a good report, virtue, any praise, think on these things. It is important to think on good things. But we don't make doctrines of it, and we don't make doctrines that weren't in the Bible, and get people really away from God and get their focus on themselves. Because now it puts all the pressure on you. You have to behave. You have to speak. You have to think. If you have a negative thought, then you don't have enough faith and bad things are going to happen. You know how much pressure that puts people under? And what we're called to do is just trust him. Trust him. Pretty easy. They should not be substituted for faith in God or used as an escape from reality. Now, I'm going to quote from one of the world's largest preachers. This is a quote. He said, fill your minds with success. What is success? What is success? Think about that. In the Bible, it says to do the will of God. That's right. To obey God. Yep. If we do that, that is success. Amen. Right? Fill your mind with success and you will become successful. I ask my people to never allow negative thoughts to dwell in their minds, but to think positive things. And I was listening to someone the other day, and this is kind of what brought this sermon to my mind. And she starts off her message with, think positive. And she said there was a lady that had three strands of hair. And the first day she did a braid. The second day she woke up and she only had two strands of hair. So then she put those two strands in ponytails. And then the third day she woke up and she only had one strand of hair, so she put it in a ponytail. The next day she woke up, she had no hair. Well, hallelujah, I don't have to do my hair today. And I was like, really, that is the way to be positive? This delusion makes it easy to avoid the correction that God's word brings into our lives, and it does so in the name of Christ and uses Bible verses. So this delusion, what is delusion? It's a belief in a lie. So if the enemy can get inside the church, and if he can start preaching other doctrines and get people sideswiped from faith in God and have faith in themselves, wow, that's a false teacher, isn't it? The Bible has many warnings of the last day. Apostasy, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, must come before Christ can return. So there's coming and there is. We're seeing a great falling away, but it doesn't have to be you. If you know the Bible, if you know the book, read the book, whatever anyone's preaching, I don't care if it's a popular fad, are they just taking a couple scriptures and making it sound uplifting? And I mean, we need uplifting. We need encouragement. But you can't just live on those sermons. We need correction. We need all of it. Right? Well, then he tells us in the warnings of the last times, it's deception. Four times, Matthew 24 talks about deception. So deception is something we got to deal with. False prophets. Matthew 24, wars, rumors of wars, kingdom against kingdom, etc. But God warned again in Genesis 2:17 to not eat the tree, not partake of that fruit, you know that story. He said, if you do, you're going to die. Well, that's negative, isn't it? Now, the devil, he was being positive, and he says, you're not going to die. You're going to be more like God, and that lie is still today. If you just do this, you can be just like God because you're in God's class, and you can have whatever you say, and you can do this and that and this and the other. And what happens is people start substituting their walk with the Lord with the walk with themselves. Yep. It becomes humanism. It's subtle, but we got to watch out for it. Satan's lies promised Eve she would become a god through eating the forbidden fruit. It was positive, but it was a lie. Yep. The issue was obedience. And God wants us to obey him today. We need to obey him. Now in Ephesians 4:15, love speaks the truth. Love corrects. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Hebrews 12:6. Correction is seen today as negative. But we need both. We need to hear all the word. We need to read it. And if you only read after certain people with their books, you only get a few scriptures. And they just lift certain scriptures out and make it sound just a certain way, and it's not in the text that it was written in, to who it was written to. Proverbs 9:8 says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. He sees the rebuke as a kindness, not an attack. Thank you for rebuking me. I needed that. Sometimes you need a rebuke. In Proverbs, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. And he that hateth reproof, what happens? You're going to die. Reprove not a scorner or a fool, because he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Read the whole book of Proverbs, and it talks about that. It's always rebuking, correcting. The mixture of truth and error has invaded the church. The mixture of truth. They're not going to put error in there without truth, and this is why it's so confusing. It's invaded the church, the apostasy, the delusion, the deception. Now, all we need is a positive mental attitude. Believe in our own thoughts and believe in our words. This is a delusion. And many people have backslidden because it didn't work for them. They started doing the formulas and they said, well, I just didn't have enough faith yet. I didn't give enough. I didn't do this enough. They put themselves under a works program. But here's something that's shocking. Historical roots of the positive confession movement lies in the occult, in new thought, and the mind sciences. This is what I wanted to say earlier. New thought and the mind science cults. Instead of trusting in God, it's a metaphysical force. And they say God is a force. Now, this book was very interesting when I found it. It's not a Christian book, but it is a book about new thought. And I just want to share a couple of things about new thought, because we don't hear new thought, but this is where the prosperity message came from. And this is where the health, wealth, gospel came from. So the New Thought movement emerged in the 19th century to help people achieve a better understanding of divine mysteries through the power of their thoughts. The term New Thought signified that one's thoughts could unlock secrets to living a better life, free from the constraints of religious doctrines. Instead of confessing your sins and needing a savior, you can have what you say. You can do it your way. You don't really need. You can use a few scripture verses, but can you see how this is leading? Yes. Away from God, yep. Onto ourself. Phineas, whatever his name is, Quimby, New Thought proposed a range of philosophical ideas that focused on the mind's power. The mind power to cure illness. Just say it enough. Have faith in your faith. This is new thought. This is not faith in God. This is faith in faith. Hope that makes sense. So what is this? This is bondage. Come back to the simplicity of trusting in the Lord. Come back to just reading the word. Faith comes by hearing. You hear the Bible, faith comes for it. It's not some big hard thing to get. Now, Baker Eddy, Quimby believed that the cause of disease resided in the mind. Now, she was one that we know started off with the Christian Science movement. He taught that if one redirected a person's thought, then disease would be cured. How many messages have people sat under? I don't even know if that's popular today of what we grew up with in the 80s and 90s. But this was, they'd keep saying, this is not Christian Science. But it was. So what Eddie shared with the New Thought movement was a belief that curing illness was connected to the mind's power to restore health. By the 1890s, the New Thought movement had shifted, and now it focused on the mind's power to create material success. Isn't that interesting? It's called the Prosperity. A book that illustrates the New Thought movement's shift towards prosperity is Ralph Waldo Trine, In Tune with the Infinite. He emphasized that happiness was largely a matter of positive thinking. As he noted in his book, if one holds himself in the thought of poverty, they will be poor, and the chances are that they will remain in poverty. If one holds himself, whatever present conditions may be, continually in the thought of prosperity, they set into operation forces. Notice that word, forces. They set into operation forces that will sooner or later bring them into prosperous conditions. By the 1920s, this is how long this has been, the New Thought phenomena had splintered into numerous small organizations. However, its belief that individuals possessed a God-given faculty to change their life through positive thinking became embedded in mainstream Christianity. The prosperity gospel. New thought ideas about individual happiness and wealth are seen above all in a movement called the Prosperity Gospel. The Prosperity Gospel refers to a belief that religious faith can lead one to personal health and material wealth. And in the 20th century, this movement said Jesus was a guide to have as an economic success. Now we're using Jesus in our business corporations for success. And this is just an article on New Thought. And then this book says New Thought groups, Those who have been associated with the prosperity gospel and the Word of Faith movement, as well as others whose writings clearly owe a debt to New Thought philosophies, even when they do not identify themselves as such. And they give a list of almost everybody I know on television. It's just like, wow, they owe a debt to New Thought? Think about that. The term New Thought signified one's thoughts could unlock secrets to living a better life. Focuses on mind power to cure illness. To redirect a person's thoughts and diseases would be cured. New Thought philosophy, the mind has the power to heal the body, to have health, happiness, and abundance. In 1980s, New Thought movement shifted to mind power to material success. Think about this. Positive thoughts would lead to success, and on it goes. We say, well, I have a testimony here. I've shared this once before about people that have been in these movements, and some terrible things have happened, even to people that I know, two of them that died that shouldn't have because of the same thing that happened here. But this was a story of something that happened. They wrote this, "We Let Our Son Die." It's a book that recounts the details of their misguided faith. Having been warned about the danger of making negative confessions by a preacher, as well as the power associated with positive confessions, this family decided to put their faith to the test by withholding insulin from their diabetic son. Long story short, they kept on confessing, kept on saying that they had faith, and their son died. How sad. He died. And even at their funeral, they planned a resurrection service. And for more than a year, they insisted that he would rise from the dead. Eventually, they were tried and convicted of manslaughter and child abuse. You say, well, that's just a tragic tale. No, it happens over and over and over again because people listen to these teachers and then they think they got to show their faith by not doing something. And with them, it was withholding something that that son needed. And you say a tragic tale, but even more tragic is that countless other stories, this could be painfully retold. In each case, the moral is always the same, a flawed concept of faith, and it leads to a shipwreck. It's very sad, but people don't know what faith is. They think that's what faith is, that it's positive confessions. And Ephesians 4:15, I guess I did say that, love speaks the truth. And sometimes it's not easy to tell the truth, reality of what's going on, but people don't get help because they're not honest. They're not honest that they really do need help in relationship or their marriage, and they feel they have to be positive and not let anybody know what's going on, and as a result, they don't get help, and they're not facing reality. They're not facing real life. Now, basic beliefs in the faith formula, theology, or New Thought, and the offshoots, we're talking about delusion here, is it says never make a negative confession because it's a law. It's a law, and it's a force. They say faith is a force. This is really the law of attraction. Now, if you want to do the law of attraction, go do the law of attraction, but don't call it Christianity. It's crept in under a different name, different clothing, but it's the same concepts. Faith, they say, is a force just like electricity or gravity. You have the same ability as God living inside you. That's a lie. God lives inside of us by the Holy Spirit. We pray for wisdom. He is God, and we are not. He is sovereign. Things happen. Sometimes we pray, things still happen. There's a lot of things we'll never know. We can't just say, well, this is a law and a force and, you know, just all bunch it all together. And they say that faith's force is released by words. So the whole concept of Christian Science, here again, it's the power of the mind, the power of the mind. Now, is it good to have good thoughts? Yes, it is. Is it good to be uplifting? Yes, it is. But to make this as a law of faith, see what I'm saying? It's delusional because this isn't faith in the Jesus of the Bible. Anyone, occultist or Christian, can use the faith force. You don't have to be saved. Now, they don't call for a personal savior or that we need to repent from our sins. They just say whatever they want to say, but as a believer in the Bible, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We call them sins. And here they just call it, listen to this, anyone, occultist or Christian, can use the faith force. Everything you say will come to pass, they say, positive or negative. You get what you say, confess and declare, releases the force of faith. This is the wrong view of God. And it's also the wrong view of man, because it lifts man up to a place that only God is. God must obey man, according to them, and man has the same power as God. As a result of all this teaching, this delusion, the church once confessed its sins. Now it confesses its rights. What happened? We get into pride. We don't humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God anymore. We kind of start bossing him around. And we think that's what we're supposed to do. What do we need? We need faith in God. Faith in him. Trust in him. We've made it so hard. We've made it a formula. We've made it a force. We think that God has to obey the law, the force of faith. So rather than a power we control and direct at him, this is twisted. Now let's just look here at Hebrews chapter 12. Or is it, Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance, verse 1, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we see this whole chapter is about faith, and I don't see anything about speaking or being positive. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. He pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're seeking him. We're not seeking ourselves and what we want. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. What was he doing? He was being obedient. He didn't confess it would not rain, it would not rain, it would not rain. He didn't. All these things we've added to, and there's a warning, when we add things to the Bible or we take away from the Bible, we have to stand for, that puts a fear of God in me. So he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was, verse 8, called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he was going. On and on it goes by. This is the faith chapter, and not one time does it say be positive. That's right. And it doesn't say be negative. It doesn't say any of that. He talks about doing what God tells him to do, obeying him, right? And this was before Jesus came as our Savior and our Lord. So they didn't even get to see the promise. They were just obedient under the Old Testament. So verse 11, through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength. She received it. She received strength from the Lord. That's what we do. We receive strength from the Lord. In this day of darkness, we have to make sure we're building on the right foundation. We have to make sure that we're not building on some new thought philosophy, some magical, mystical doctrine that we found ourselves in, that we got trapped into, that leads to confusion and to shipwreck, like that family, they lost their son, thinking they were obeying God, and they got into deception. They got into a delusion. I knew a guy that needed some of the same things, and he kept watching these preachers on TV, and he quit taking some of his medicine, and he died. He took a run one day, and he didn't need to die. He didn't need to die. He just thought he was walking in faith. And we kept telling him, take care of yourself. And he kept not listening to us, and he died young. He didn't need to die. So, you know, a lot of you could have had stories with this, because why they think they're obeying and they have to do a certain formula. Here's Sarah. What does she do by faith? She was past age because she judged him faithful. If God makes a promise to him, to us, we judge him faithful. Yeah. He's the faithful one. Yes. Get everything back to him. We've gotten into this humanistic teachings and have made humans become divine. That's what they teach. You are little gods. These all died in faith, not receiving the promise. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And it keeps on going. And I love this in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. On and on it goes. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. We walk by faith. We don't see him right now. So as we walk by faith too, we don't see him, but we know he's there when we walk by faith, trusting in him that he left us his word, to walk in his word. The simple simplicity of a child to walk with him. And on it goes. It talks what faith really was. And under the Old Testament, they received their dead raised to life again in verse 35, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Wow, that can't be faith. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. I guess we'll just rip this out of the Bible. But it says in verse 39, you could go on all that. He said, And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What is the promise? We're now under the new covenant with a better blessing. Jesus died for our sins, right? So we try to do his will. We try to follow him. Let me close with this here. We need faith in God rather than power we control and we direct at him. What is faith? The power is in God. Not in us. It's a simple trust. Now, what about Proverbs 18:21? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's a scripture, but you don't take one scripture and build a whole doctrine on it. Solomon was writing to his son, who would become king in his place. He had the power to condemn or to pardon. A witness in court today has the same power. Plus, life and death, if a gossiper runs around, they can destroy people's reputations. People get in deception and they try to destroy people. It's sad. Words have power, but not the creative power of the law of force that they're teaching. But to take this verse to mean there's some force in our words that will bring to pass whatever we say, positive or negative, this is what these people preach, it's total delusional, and it's bad fruit. This mind power is what occultists call the creative power of the spoken word. The occultists use it. This occult idea forms a basis for witchcraft, hexes, mantras, and incantations. Faith is simply trusting in God, relying, obeying God, trying to do the best we can. Last week I was talking about the one another's love one another, honor. That's work in itself, trying to love each other, submit to one another, all those things, doing his will. So why all this lack of discernment today? A lot of it is because we're told. Another delusion. Don't touch the anointed. Well, first of all, if they're not teaching the Bible and they're teaching new thought, they're not anointed. They're not anointed from God. We are told, don't touch the anointed or we're going to be cursed. In the faith in faith, fake gospel, faith is not placed in God. Really, in this fake gospel, you only need a formula and the force of faith. You don't even need Jesus. You don't even need the Bible, because really, it puts all the focus back on your words. Think about it. But is the power directed at God? You're not really in relationship with him, fellowship with him. You're bossing him around. See my faith, God? See what I can do? because you think you have the same power that he has when he formed the world. Well, that was God. And they say, well, he spoke, but that was God that spoke. A lot of people have backslid over this stuff because it didn't work for them. Come back to the simplicity of just loving God, obeying him. If the storms come, whatever, make sure your house is built on the rock, not the sand. Because if it's built on these teachings, when these hard times come, you're going to fall away. You're going to fall away. And there's coming a great falling away. Because people think, why didn't it work for me? How come I said the seven laws to whatever and it didn't work? Say, faith is not placed in God in these teachings, but it's a power directed at God, which forces God to do for us what we have believed, confessed, and visualized he will do. That visualization is another whole part of this process. You just have to visualize it. You have to see it. You have to say it. We must activate laws, they say, by faith. Really, this is works. This is not faith. It eliminates God as sovereign and puts everything into the hands of man. This is also Gnosticism. I've taught some messages on Gnosticism. We are to have faith in God and not in ourselves. True faith grows out of an obedient relationship with him. God answers prayer on the basis of his sovereignty, his wisdom, his mercy, and his grace, not because some law made him act. He cannot be manipulated. God can't be manipulated by man or angels through mental processes or spoken words and decrees. Now people are running around decreeing and declaring, bossing. Come back to the simplicity. Come back to that childlike faith. Come back. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Go back to your Bible. Put down these people's messages that have written. I have thrown so many books away, thousands of dollars worth of books, haven't I? Thousands. My library was filled with all this. And I feel like now I have to teach people the truth that I didn't know I was deceived or delusional. But I saw a lot of people die that didn't need to die. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. I pray that this would come across in a heart of comfort. People have lost loved ones. People have lost businesses. A lot of people thought they were on a faith adventure, and they got shipwrecked. And Father, I pray most of all that they would come back to you. Their relationship with you is the most important thing. A lot of things we don't understand. There's a lot of things we have to unlearn. But Father, we thank you that we come back to the simplicity of the Bible and lay aside these teachers and lay aside some of these programs on television that are leading us into these delusional positive teachings and come back to you in a simple trusting faith. These people didn't save us, you did. We promise to give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Jesus, I love you. Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend.